Well, here we are for our culture segment, and this is Catherine. I actually usually produce Boundless, but Lisa's out today on the day we recorded this, so she asked me to step in and introduce you to our guests. And our guests are Ryan and Selena Frederick. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
They have a ministry called Fierce Marriage and a book also called Fierce Marriage, Radically Pursuing Each Other in Light of Christ's Relentless Love. So I'm excited to talk to you for a couple reasons. One, you have a marriage ministry, and I'm getting married in like a couple months, so I'm very excited.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. But also because, Selena, I think you and I have something very important in common.
Horses. Is it horses?
Say horses. Horses. Yeah. I love horses. Yeah. And that's kind of how your story starts, right? You guys had this horse adventure in Switzerland, right?
Yes.
So tell me about that.
So after college, I've always loved horses and sort of took lessons growing up, and I thought, what better time to go on a European adventure and ride horses in Europe than right after college when you have all those school loans to pay back?
You're just like living the dream there. You're newly married.
Well, you make it sound so like perfect, but really you're applying for these really like low-paying jobs.
Yes, as any horse person knows, the glamorous jobs are not the well-paying jobs.
So Ryan, you were not as excited about this.
Well, I was excited for the adventure, but I knew very well that we were making a very unlivable wage.
Well, but it went quickly from this adventure to this like near death experience, right?
Yes.
So kind of tell me, you actually had to write your will and you were like 22, right?
Yeah.
So tell me what was going on.
So it's a long story and it's all in our book, but essentially what happened is we had made the decision to go right after our senior year in college. During finals, I was working full time, studying all night long in class, every spare moment. And my immune system had tanked, didn't realize it. And I had a congenital heart defect. And during that time, I had gotten a bacterial infection on the mitral valve in my heart. We didn't know this at all. We got to Switzerland not knowing this, treated the symptoms for about 3-4 weeks. And then finally, it almost killed me to the point where it was literally by the grace of God that my normal doctor was out. A new doctor came in, heard my heart with fresh ears, saw my chart with fresh eyes, and said, hey, we need to get you to a hospital, like, seriously fast. There's something very wrong with your heart. And, of course, I said what every red-blooded husband would say. I said, well, how much is that going to cost?
Because you're not making much. We just have to say yes.
Yeah, and he looked at me and he said, well, it's either that or your life. Choose. Mm. And so, essentially, we did another week of, they found out that I had this bacterial infection. We did a week of antibiotic cocktail, like a really intense IV cocktail of antibiotics. That didn't work. Actually, the bacterial growth had increased in size in that week. And so they said, all right, well, we got to put you under the knife tomorrow. You're having open heart surgery, 22-year-old kid. And that's when really just, you know, the Bible says, Lord, teach us to count our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I could count my days. It was one. Because there's a really good chance that I wouldn't make it through. Obviously, the chances were good that I would. But when you're looking at like a 20% chance that you might die, you start to take it pretty seriously.
Take me back to that moment. Weren't you like writing letters to...
Yeah, and that's where I started writing letters to... I wrote a letter to Selena basically saying, hey, if I die, here's... Like, I want you to feel okay. Like, find another guy. It's okay. hopefully he loves you more than I do.
Oh.
He's a jerk, but whatever.
This theoretical guy.
And then I wrote a letter to my dad, my mom, my brother, some good friends. And yeah, it was a really emotional time. And then we had one of the things that we had mourned the loss of in that, or the potential of losing, is having children together. Even though we didn't have any plans for it, we just knew that that was something that we were really excited about someday. And so I just remember getting really emotional about this prospect of not ever being able to have babies. And so going into the room, into surgery, thinking, I hope I wake up from this. And then waking up from it, it was like life was new. It was amazing. I'm getting kind of ahead of the story now, but what did they say?
When I asked you when you woke up?
Yeah, you said, I made it. Or whatever. And
and I said, we can have babies now. And he's like, yeah. And I said, lots of them. And he goes, no.
And I'm like, totally, you know, out of it. Yes. Somehow I had the wherewithal to say, no, not lots.
Oh, that's precious. Okay, well, let's back up though. Selena, how are you feeling during all this? Because you're on this adventure and then suddenly your brand new husband is out of commission, right?
Yeah, no, we were super excited to be doing it. I was very excited to be doing it, riding all these beautiful horses that you dream about riding. They're kind of like the best horses in the barns in America. No, not all of America, but where I was. And then you go to Europe and there's just they're all the best horses in the barn. So it was pretty amazing to be able to, I mean, and the setting, we're in the country, Swiss countryside. We are just, we're working hard. But then he wasn't able to work and he was really sick and I didn't know what was going on. I was like, can you just try to be better? Like, just try to feel better.
Just come on, pull it together,
so
man.
Yeah. We could stay here and we can just
this
live
is my
this dream.
Please. Yeah. Please,
of course, I felt together. Horrible.
And you don't mean to as a person or a wife to put that on your husband. But sometimes that is what is communicated. And, you know, God is so gracious to humble me in that. When we found out what was really going on, it definitely helped me take a step back. And, you know, there was a few moments where I mourned our time. I mourned the loss of that dream, I felt like. It was momentary, very momentary. But everything after it, you know, God was just so gracious to lead us through that whole journey of him going into surgery and him recovering. And we were just better and stronger for it because of God. So,
wow. How has it changed how you view your marriage?
Well, I think obviously that coming face to face with death has forever changed how we love, because I feel like life is much more fragile. These moments mm-hmm. Every moment's much more weighty mm-hmm. in a good way. You can let that weigh you down, but you can also just have kind of a joyful, like, reverence
conviction,
for it, right?
Yeah.
Conviction. So that's changed how we kind of embrace those small moments and realizing that real life happens in the in-between. You can't live on mountaintops. But really, growth happens in valleys, and mm-hmm. so you kind of embrace those in-between moments. I'd say that's the biggest way it's affected me, that specific revelation. Now, we've grown a lot since then in a lot of different ways, namely in how to love each other. You know, even though we might impose our own expectations on one another, we realize that really those things all fall to the wayside in the midst of things that actually matter, mm-hmm. meaning that mm-hmm. Christ matters, the gospel matters, eternity matters. Knowing who you are in Christ is what matters. So when we're having that argument or we're not seeing eye to eye, by God's grace, I can sit there and say, okay, God has not held my sin against me. How dare I mm-hmm. hold anything against her in terms of, like, from a moral standpoint? I need to love her through this. And so I think it's really taught us how to, not that I'll ever, like, master it, but I feel like we've learned more and more how to love more sincerely, more purely.
Yeah. And I'm sure it was hard to go through that so early, but I'm glad you got that perspective so early.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about the concept of fierce marriage, because I think for young adults, a lot of times we associate marriage with fear. We hear from listeners all the time that are scared they're never going to get married. They're scared no one will ever love them that much. Or they're dating or engaged and scared it's the wrong person, scared that person will die or leave them, or all the things. I mean, and you literally came face to face with the worst possible situation right at the beginning. So how do you really just trust God with marriage, this huge, scary thing? I mean, for young adults.
Yeah. Well, the concept of the fear, so a fierce marriage, and people often wonder, like, what do you mean by that, right? That's one of these words that, depending on your history and your own,
right,
it can mean different things. For us, we saw marriage as this beautiful thing. It's worth fighting for. And in fact, having a marriage that is filled with love that's lifelong takes a fierce tenacity that never gives up and never gives in. And that's what we mean by fierce, in that you're getting into this covenant. You, in a few months, are getting married.
Yeah.
So you're embarking on this amazing adventure, and you know it's going to be hard at times. Like, you know that. And so you're ready for it, and you're saying, okay, I am committed. This is a covenantal love. It's not a contractual thing. It's not a fleeting thing. It's not a feeling thing. It's a decision to love. And so what we found with younger couples, so we're in our mid-30s. We've been married 15 years. We got married fairly young. A lot of the younger couples, they want lifelong love. They want sincere, true, like, intimacy in every sense, emotional, spiritual, physical. They want the best parts of all that. And we're just here saying, like, that is possible, but it's not going to be easy. And I think for a lot of times the idea of marriage is not aptly communicated or not appropriate. You know, they don't get the full, okay, this is not going to be easy. Here's why it's worth fighting through the hard stuff.
Right. And I think it's easy for us to make marriage an idol in a lot of ways. We may not consciously say that, but we go in with expectations of, okay, this person's going to make my life better. We're going to be happy. We're going to do all these things. And really, I feel like God has taught us that the setting of marriage is a very sanctifying place. It's a place where you get to know someone better than anybody else. You have this direct line to each other's hearts. But it's within that covenant and that setting that God is able to draw out kind of the sin in our hearts. So he's able to draw out those weaknesses and sanctify us and bring us closer to him and to each other and a deeper understanding of him, a deeper experience of him. And it's so unique in the marriage setting, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you say in the book, Jesus isn't merely a means to a better marriage. Your marriage is a means to a better relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That to me is the fuel, right? When you look at your marriage as something bigger than you, that it is not just an end in itself. It's a means to a greater end. And that is what we talk about the gospel all the time, right? It's this good news that Christ died for sinners and he saved us by grace. That's amazing news. But the gospel is also not just our salvation, but our sanctification. Like here now, being made into the image of Christ is our reality as believers. And so marriage is a huge avenue for that. So when we see marriages as, yes, I get all this joy of getting to know this person that I love, I'm also taking joy knowing that it's not just about that, meaning that if that fails, if our relationship is falling, if it's failing, then I can hold to Christ. And I'm not articulating it well today.
But. Can I speak one more thing to the whole fear factor of getting married? In Mark 10, our pastor spoke on this about a week ago about the passage is actually on divorce, but don't worry about that. They were talking about the words of Jesus and what he was saying with marriage. And he said, you know, let what God has brought together, let no man separate. And so I think we can tend to look over that section of what God has brought together, forgetting that God brought
God
us together.
He
brought this person to my life, and being able to trust God in his all-knowing, his sovereignty, his providence, trusting and being assured that it wasn't a random person that I'm getting married to, that God is big enough and powerful enough to intentionally bring us together to help us glorify him even greater. And, you know, we sharpen each other, of course. And there's, of course, the clashing that happens with the sharpening. But ultimately, God is so good and faithful to bring us through that process, knowing him better and being able to glorify him more.
That's huge. Because I think a lot of times the fear that you talked about is because people, they fear that I've made a mistake. I've chosen the wrong person. I've hitched my wagon to a lame horse, to use the horse analogy.
She was probably literally wondering that in Switzerland.
And so that's, and what you're saying is so liberating, knowing that, okay, once you've entered into that covenant together, God's bringing you together, right? And that's a huge comfort, especially if you feel like, oh man, I made a huge mistake. Then you start looking for ways out. And if instead you've not made a mistake, then you're just looking for ways forward and not for ways out. And I think that's so huge for young people getting into marriage.
That's good. I want to go back to your idea of the gospel-centered marriage and what that actually looks like, because you, obviously everybody wants that. But I love your concept of priorities and how everybody always says, like, we have God, spouse, family. But you kind of say that's not how you look at it. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I think the list, it's okay. So I don't want people to feel bad if they have a list.
We like, live by the list. I had a list.
A God first and, you know, spouse second, you know, others. That's, and kids, that's fine. But what we're saying is, and what we found more helpful for us, I'll put it that way, is it the concentric circle view of it, which if you're picturing a target, right, Jesus is at the center. Actually, I'll change my word pictures
like your
here.
You like your analogy, I knew you were going to go.
You're like, you throw a rock into a pond. Like you throw the rock into the pond, Christ is at the center. Everything radiates outward from there. So how you love each other. So we look at, I think our priorities in the book are, you know, love God first. Then it's, you know, make disciples, love others. And then it's experience his grace, extend his glory. So within that framework, everything fits. Instead of God first, you know, so on and so forth. Now it's like Jesus is part of everything. Everything's radiating outward from him being at the actual center of our lives, center of our marriage. So now we're filtering decisions through that instead of just saying, hey, I had my devotions. Okay, now I can do what I really want to do.
Everything else is built on, everything's built on Christ and he's able to bear the weight of it. Whereas when we check off the list, sometimes we just check off the list to check off the list. And if we don't, it becomes more of a burden inside itself.
Right. And it's
so,
a cycle. Yeah,
absolutely.
But how do you actually put God first? Is that morning prayer time alone, or what has worked for you guys?
We ask each other intentional questions. So communication's a lot of it. So what are you reading in God's word? How is God working in your heart? Those types of questions are so huge in just starting a conversation, right? Because you can never script that kind of connection. You just have to create the space where it can happen. And so I'd say there's that, and there's, we prioritize certain things, and we, church is a priority. And
yep, church is a priority. You know, having godly community that knows us, that knows what we're struggling with, that we know what they're struggling with. I think transparency is really huge. It's easy to kind of walk into marriage and kind of have your stuff that you don't really want your husband to know or your wife to know.
Because you're perfect.
Because you're perfect. You don't want the imperfections to show, but they always do, and they will. And that's good, because I feel like it's, again, in our weakness, like God is glorified. And so I guess us just tangibly putting Christ first is consciously, it's getting in his word. His word is alive. It's transformative. Knowing God through his word, knowing him with our minds and loving him with our minds, and how understanding the world according to God's word, I think would be the biggest one. And yeah, the communication, we typically do like a heart check on our podcast, which is actually really great for us. But we,
wait, don't you literally have something in your heart? Like,
oh, he used to. No, he used
not
to.
Anymore.
Okay, but
yeah.
There are
the wires that keep your
I do,
chest together.
If I get x-rays and stuff, you can see it looks like shoelaces on my ribcage.
So explain yeah. that. Isn't there a communication analogy there? Can you explain
there is,
that?
But, yeah. And that's the, so before, so right after heart surgery, they had wires that were literally through my abs. I've got these beautiful scars right here. They're not. They're ugly.
I thought you were going to say I have these beautiful abs.
Well, I'm glad someone said it.
She probably likes the scars. It's nice. Yeah. It's good.
No, but they, these wires were strategically touching parts of my heart. And the point of having those wires there was in case my heart decided to stop or slow down, that they could
casually just, you know,
they could tie it off to whatever, like a, you know, a machine that would make
jolt
it beat
your,
correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the point of that analogy was, and it's in our book, is that as a spouse, you have a direct line to your husband's heart or your wife's heart. Mm-hmm. And it's up to you to speak words that are going to be life-giving, or you like no one else can mm-hmm. say things that are encouraging or devastating mm-hmm. to your spouse, because they've given you that access. And so that's where that analogy comes from.
That's cool. A question I want to kind of wrap up with is one that we hear probably every day at Boundless. And it's, you know, I'm single right now. I want to be married someday. You know, maybe I'm not dating. Maybe I am dating. What are things that singles can do right now to prepare well for marriage?
I mean,
let Jesus be enough in a lot of ways. And I know that's a hard thing to, a very ambiguous, not very tangible thing to say. But even in marriage, Jesus has to be enough. So I feel like outside of marriage, he's got to be enough. And if he's not enough, you need to keep diving deeper into him. And
what do you mean by enough? Because I think that's where it gets really shady.
Yeah, no, I know.
So what you mean is you have him be your identity in that you know that you are loved. You don't have to earn God's love. Mm-hmm. You don't have to earn really anybody's love, because God has already called you his
own. You're already accepted.
And he's enough. Yes. You're accepted. And if... So as a single person, you're not less of a person. You're not an incomplete
Mm-mm.
person. You're not an incomplete image of God. Mm-mm. You're not made in half an image of God, right? You're made in the full image of God. So really just press into that identity of who you are
mm-hmm.
and find your delight and your joy in him.
I would say, you know, like tangibly.
Don't be a hermit. Get out. Meet some people.
Well, and tangibly speaking, I guess, you know, when I was younger, they encouraged us to... Sounds silly, maybe, you can cut this out if you don't want it, but to write a list and prayerfully pray, you know, just ask God, this is, if I could ask God for a person, these
you
are the
wrote
things.
Beautiful abs on your list.
Wires on
would
chest.
Want. Yes.
And I think the concept of Jesus being enough is hard, even when you get into a good Christian relationship, because then that person's amazing and mm-hmm. they're pushing you towards God and you're like, oh my gosh, this is, and it's, and then you're like, whoa, I need to step back. So it's just mm-hmm. hard all around, I think.
Well, it's a lifelong struggle. That's it. And that's why I love what you said, Selena, in that if he's enough now, like he's going to need to be enough for the rest of your life, whether you're married or single.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you want to prepare, like the best way you can prepare is just to know Jesus and trust him more.
Yeah.
And, just believe.
And also when I say pray about like a list of somebody, I feel like that's an indicator of like where your heart is at with Christ. Like if I just want some rich, handsome sugar daddy, I don't know. I don't really feel like that's the right thing to ask for. Joke's on me.
Ryan's glad.
Joke's on me. But if you, you know, if you're really praying for, you know, a man with a heart after God and somebody who will lead his family well and that cherishes and treasures the things of God over the things of man, I think those are valuable attributes and things to consider when you're preparing your own heart.
Yeah. And I feel like for me, praying was like I was grasping onto this concept. And every time I prayed for a different thing, I was like letting go one finger at a time, like letting go until I was like, okay, God, it's yours. Like, I can. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Ryan and Selena, thank you so much. Thank you for just portraying a positive view of marriage, but also a realistic one that's like, hey, you might come close to death, but you'll be okay.
Yeah, you'll make it.
But thank you for showing us that. Yeah, Jesus is always enough, and he's going to be enough whether we're single or married. So thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Folks, the book is Fierce Marriage, Radically Pursuing Each Other in Light of Christ's Relentless Love. And you can find more about Ryan and Selena on Instagram, I think, right? You guys are on Instagram?
Yeah, you can find us pretty much anywhere except for MySpace. So sorry about that.
No one else either. And also at fiercemarriage.com, there's a pre-marriage tab you can check out. And if you want to get their book, you can order it through Boundless and support our ministry. Go to boundless.org and search for 575. That's the episode number. Well, thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
No, thank you.